world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So good Monday morning, the 19th day of this May. Are you kidding me? Memorial Day weekend coming up this next weekend. Are you kidding me? Where does time go? Where is time? Hey, I'm gonna give you fair warning today. It's gonna be hard to watch. Some of the stuff's gonna be hard to watch. Some of you may not want to watch it. Just give you fair warning on that before we get rolling here. And for those of you who are interested, may not be interested, but I'm all stressed today because my mower busted. George came out. Thanks, George. George came out to try to help me with my mower. Just the wheel is somehow welded onto the frame. My 72-inch mower, and it's flat. We can't get it off. And I got a new tire. I got $500 equipment. We could not get that. We worked all, 4 hours. We could not get that old tire off. So I had to end up dragging it into the, let them company get it off from whatever the heck that means. And the grass is up to about to my knees, and it's going to rain the next 4 days. So as my wife would say, nothing stresses me out more than mowing the grass. Folks, it's 30 friggin' acres. It's up to my knees, it seems like. I mean, it's not that high, right? It seems like it's up to my knees. And I can't get the wheel off. So if I'm a little bit stressed today, please understand that stresses me. We'll get it done. But if it rains 4 days in a row, maybe it'll fill up the pond. Not a drop of water. Anyway. Oh, my goodness. We're at the Ides of March. Hey, I got some stuff today I want to share with you. Thanks, George, for coming out and helping me. We'll try to get that whole thing fixed up. And again, I say this a lot. I just thank everybody who sends me video clips and all that. I want you to know I appreciate it all. And I want you to know, you want to say something, Spence? You're going to shut me down, and I'm going to come back. Is that what you're saying? David Arthur, you come on in, and you do some talking, David Arthur, about what you got going on, and you're going to shut me down, and I'll be right back. Go ahead.
I think that David's referring to me, so I will come in. So I've got a couple of things to announce. The LibertyActionNetwork.com. So coming up this Saturday is the celebration of Faith, Freedom, and MAHA, Making America Healthy Again. So this is being put on in Granville, Ohio. And Jeff Lauterbach, who we know from, he's a reporter for, what's the name of it, Epic Times. And he also is the co-founder of All in Ohio. So he's going to be there. Samantha Rayburn has come on his team. She'll be there. And then, of course, we all know John Hartzler. He's the guy that has the really great milk that is the least pasteurized as possible to make it, to keep all the good stuff in there. So it's going to be a great conference. So I encourage anybody who's in this area, it's going to be at North 64 Farms, which is Jake and Sabrina's place, Warner's place. So that's coming up. And also Scott Shera, his court case begins on June 3rd, which is just around the corner. So we need to all be praying for that. We can't all be there, but let's all pray for Scott Shera. If you're not familiar with what's going on, his daughter, Grace, was medically murdered. And so there's a case coming out. It has to do with, remdesivir and the whole COVID scam. So that's going to be a big one. And then, of course, the Pass the Salt annual huddle is coming up on June 13th. So if you have any questions about any of these events, go to thelibertyactionnetwork.com, click on the events, and then they're all there. Thank you so much.
Thanks for covering that for me, Mel. And I feel bad because you mentioned Scott Scherer. I'm supposed to, golly, where is it? Scott's supposed to, Scott's going to join us. I can't remember what day that is. Daggone, I got to get that lined. I hope I didn't mess you up today, Scott. I think it's later on this week. Look, we got to pray for Stephanie. For Stephanie. Thank you, Michelle. Stephanie's grandson. Is that right, Michelle? It's granddaughter. I'm sorry. Stephanie's granddaughter is, she had to go back in the hospital. I don't really know the details of it. But Lord, we just ask you right now to touch that little baby, Lord. Wonderfully and perfectly made, Lord. Just touch her. Heal her. Touch the family. Heal them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, Michelle. Michelle says it's next Friday. Scott Charles. I'm telling you, it's a whirlwind around here. It's a whirlwind. Thanks, Mel, for doing that. And I forgot about that thing with John. I'm sorry, man. John Hartzler. I forgot all about that, man. So we got a lot on the table. Friends, look, do you know of anybody doing what we're doing? I mean, really, do you know of anybody doing what we're doing? The best we can. Did you guys know this? Oh, did I not? Oh, my God, it's been crazy. Pull up, Spencer, do you have the NBC News piece on Natural Family Foundation? I'm going to find it here. I'm sorry. JR, I'm sorry. Are you out there, JR?
I got in some position and at the ready.
Okay, JR. I'm sorry. It's been crazy around here, okay? It hit the news. It hit NBC News. NBC mm-hmm. News picked up Natural Family. Talk about that a second, JR. It's on the screen.
Well, it's very. Can you hear me?
Yes, this is national news. NBC National picked this story up. Go ahead, JR.
Yeah, it's the two Ohio legislators that entered this. It's just been a blessing. And the talk, it's really got our adversaries riled up. They don't know what to do about this. They didn't expect it. It's a positive, but they're still complaining about it. They're saying it's a threat to them, et cetera. I mean, we don't say that Gay Pride Month is a threat to us, but yet you want to celebrate the natural family.
They're the bigots, aren't they, JR? They are the bigots.
Yes, sir. Yeah, they do what they accuse us of.
That's right. They're bigots. They're absolutely bigots.
And for those who don't know, the natural family is basically the biblical family. One biological born man, woman, and a lifelong committed monogamous relationship.
Which is, JR, I don't want to say, I'm not going to use this term because I know you don't use it. Mm-hmm. That'd be normal. Wouldn't that be normal?
Well, yeah, it's common sense. It's what it is.
Yeah. And it's a firestorm. It's a fire. Folks, if we can push this across across the finish line in Ohio, Katie, bar the door, right? JR, you're really, on to something here, JR. What do we need to do?
I would be contacting, if you're in Ohio, contact your local representatives and senators. This is now a committee.
Hang on, JR. You don't have to be in Ohio. So listen, Mel or whoever out there, we have to create a, what do they call that? A form that people can just click and send. We have to create forms. So we'll figure out how to do that. This is huge because JR, we know that the God haters, they're going to amp it up, brother. But they are losers.
Oh, yeah.
If we make this about bigotry on their behalf, they ain't gonna be able to wiggle out of that one.
Well, Coach, they're gonna try to make they are making themselves victims.
Yes.
But the real victim here are children. Children who are not with their biological mother and father. And this isn't just about LGBTQ. We have no fault divorce. That is insane. You get into a relationship and you can just leave. No reason. Just leave.
Yeah.
And then you have the child there with one parent And the child needs both parents, both biological parents. When you take one out of the family, there's an issue.
There is an issue, and we're sure dealing with that kind of stuff. We, when I use that term we as purveyors of truth and as the advancement of the kingdom of God, we have so failed. We have so failed. Somewhere along the line, they told us we weren't supposed to get involved. Somewhere along the line, they convinced us that religion and politics don't mix. Somewhere along the line, they put the muzzle on the pulpit and told them that they were not allowed to speak regarding political issues, which political issues are always moral issues. And the moral, conscience of America is the American church, and the American church has failed to engage in these issues. And because there's no opposition, anybody remember the old saying, went through them like crap through a goose? Anybody remember that term? Went through them like crap through a goose. That's what happened. That's what happened to the American society. Evil has gone through us like crap through a goose. No resistance at all from the American church, really, for the most part. I know, Michelle. She says, honey, you always talk about the same thing. I know. I know. I always talk about the same thing. JR, go ahead and wrap it up here, brother. We're going to stay on
this
top.
This is an opportunity.
What would you like us to do, JR? Well, hang on. How many of you are contacting your pastor?
There you go.
How many of you are contacting your pastor? Every person sitting in every church in America should be sending a message to their local elected official. Do you agree with that, JR?
Right. Yeah, and I agree with that because although this is the state of Ohio, this has national ramifications.
Well, it happens
huge,
here, it happens everywhere.
Huge.
I mean, Coach, this is the national news. If you read this whole thing, JR, did they talk to you or you didn't call back? What's the story?
I've not called back. I've been advised to, for the moment, let's see what's happening and I can respond later.
Well, as soon as you respond, I hope you respond with their bigotry. I hope that's what you attack.
Again, we're defending the family. We're defending children.
Amen.
And that's the key. Single parents, and that's one thing that I like to associate themselves with single parents, okay? That is an issue for a child. But let me tell you something. Every couple that gets married expects to be married for the rest of their life, right?
Yep.
And that's what we're talking about. Those two are going to be married for the rest of their lives. And when something happens and one of them is not in the relationship, that doesn't change your intent. And the intent is right. It's supposed to be for the rest of your life.
The fact that you had a crappy marriage does not mean marriage is bad, folks. Right?
Right.
First of all, listen, we all have to get by our past, meaning this. Yeah, I used to think like that, but I don't anymore. It's okay. I've changed. Okay. Yes, I got a divorce. Yes, I'm sorry. It didn't work out, but now I understand how important it is. I'm sorry. See, you should not be in the position where you feel like you can't speak up because of your past. Amen. That's the gospel. Folks, that's the gospel. I was blind, now I see. I was so wrong. Don't make the same mistake. Instead, we're afraid to speak up because people are going to say, oh, yeah, well, what about you? Huh? What about you? You're on your third marriage, or whatever it might be. I mean, you understand, right?
Yeah.
That's the gospel. I was blind, now I see. Come on. And we have to engage. Instead of the church remaining silent and saying it's under the blood, it is under the blood. That's what I'm going to talk about. It's under the blood. I used to be this. Now it's under the blood, and I don't. Now I see how wrong that was. That's why at the abortion clinic, when we go to, I'm going to get into some of that here in a second. That's why when we go to the abortion clinic, you know what the most convicting thing is that you can do when you go to the abortion clinic? Take a crying baby with you. Stand outside the abortion clinic with a crying baby. And every woman getting ready to go in there and murder her baby knows that sound. Knows that sound. And the women who've been involved in the abortions, they need to say, I was lost, and now I see, don't do it. Don't do it. Why is this so hard? Why is this so hard? Well, again, because they've told us not to do it. If you were using drugs, if you were a cokehead, and you got off coke through the power of Jesus Christ, wouldn't you tell everybody? You used to be a cokehead. Yeah, but Jesus changed, and I'm not like that anymore. And you don't have to be either. Rather than giving them a religion, tell them about the life-changing power of Christ in your life. They call that a testimony. But if you're afraid, ashamed, you're not going to tell them. And then they're going to watch TV, and they're going to see Joyce Meyer, and it's all going to be prosperity, all this kind of stuff. And then they don't want to be Christian. Why don't they want to be Christian? Because they're carrying around this burden, this weight that they can't get rid of what they did to their own baby. How can I speak up for marriage when I've been divorced? Well, you were blind, now you see. You made a mistake when you were 18 years old. You didn't understand it. It was all hormones. And then when you got married and you had all as much sex as you could take, then all of a sudden 2 years later, you realize, wow, man, did I screw this thing up? That guy's a bum. That's a testimony. And we're ashamed of him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, loving not their own lives, even to the point of death. Why? Because when you share your testimony, it's like dying. It's like dying. You don't want people to know. So you hide it. You bury it. And it's under the blood and it's forgiven. But you have the power to set people free through your testimony. Yeah, I was married before, and yeah, we were young. We didn't know what's going on. And yeah, in fact, I've been divorced twice. But now, man, Jesus came into my life, and wow, everything changed. And he can change your life too. That's called a testimony. Don't be burdened by your past sin. Is it under the blood or is it not under the blood? Do you explain to others why you're able to? Oh, yeah, I used to do that stuff. Drunk driving. Oh, yeah, drunk driving. Oh, are you kidding me? I'd drive drunk, but not anymore. And then Jesus came into my life. He changed me. Oh, my God. Now I have the power to say no to stuff I didn't have the power to say no to before. And I have a lot of great regrets in my life. But thank God, as the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he doesn't remember my sins anymore. And I'm grateful for salvation. And I'm moving forward in the cause of Christ. That's the gospel. The average person says, well, if I could just get him to come to church and hear my pastor. What? Come to church and hear your pastor. Let him hear you. You. Your testimony. I was blind, now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. You can be too. Come on, man. Come on. I'll get off of it here in a second. But now, we have been so screwed up in church. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Just give me, let me know the one person out there.
We Good have been work, so Doug. Screwed up in church. Amen.
Boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Just religious organizations. That's all. I got some good stuff I want to show you. I know Dale's busting to get in. Craig's busting. I got some good stuff. Don't go away. It's going to be hard to watch, but don't go away. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, I'm not busted, but I sure am excited. So, you know, what the enemy is intended for evil on this NBC Peace Coach, yep. God is turning it for the good. I'm going to be talking with Pastor Brian Gunter. You don't know him, but let's put it this way. He cut his teeth with Rusty Thomas in Waco, Texas, when he was in his Bible, Biblical Theological Seminary. He is a big pastor in Livingston, and he does a ton of work at the state capitol here in Louisiana. Great influence. I am presenting to him the Ohio piece of legislation, Damn. And these news articles give it ground to say, hey, this really is real. This yeah. is something, because in the state of Louisiana, we have a super majority on the House and the Senate, and of course, the governor, Jeff Landry, the attorney general, now the governor. Yeah. Coach, this thing is, I think it's going to go quickly here in Louisiana. And uh-huh. So what the enemy intended for evil in that NBC News article, God's turning for good. And it is absolutely right, Coach. Let me tell you something. People can debate with you about your eschatology, theology, and your ecclesiologies of whether God or God doesn't exist, but they cannot deny what God has done for you. Your testimony Amen. is exactly what you just said. It is the gospel. And last thing, Planned Parenthood is trying to have a little get together here in St. Charles Parish where my church is at. Coach, I put the clarion call out. I've got a bunch, not women, I have a bunch of men that came to me and said, we're going to that meeting tomorrow night here. And that is what a pastor's to do, to equip the saints and then send them out to do the works of the ministry.
Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before, right? Guys know that song? That's the gospel. It's us. It's us. It's not your pastor. It's us marching as to war. Are we marching as to war? Huh? Are we? Did you hear a war message at your church today? Or did you get another feel-good message? Or worse yet, I'm sorry, my perspective. Signs that it's all coming down. Oh, coming down. Don't get me going. Craig.
Well, when we have this talk, make sure you take these two verses and print them off and hand them to whoever you're talking about. I'm going to read them. Genesis chapter 1, 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle. Over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on earth. Verse 27. So God created a man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. I think that's what JR is talking about.
You think so?
He created them. Then God blessed them. Important. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Okay. You can't be fruitful and multiplied when you're married to another woman. You can't be fruitful and multiplied when you're married to another man. Now, you can do in vitro stuff, right? Okay. Or you can have organic food, or you can eat GMO food. Which one does your body receive better, GMO food? Or does it receive? And most people would say, well, gee, I guess natural food your body would do. Okay. So God made this, and he blessed it. And if we walk outside of this, do not expect God's blessing right from the gate. So this is your biblical scriptures that you can just hand to somebody, a legislator or whatever, and say, God is watching your opinion and what your actions are on this. And don't be surprised if you get a spanking if you're on the opposite side. Amen. God will spank you, and sometimes his spankings hurt.
Amen. It's all good. Some Flip Benham, one of the
Genesis
lines.
26, verse 26, the first chapter, verse 26. And here's what's cool. God reveals himself in numbers. Do you know what the numerics of God is in Hebrew, his name? W-Y-H, right?
Yep.
You add those up numerically, it comes to 26. God's name numerically is 26. And it's verse 26 in the first chapter. So, God's even shining down on the number side of it.
Stop it. Stop it. Mm-hmm. Jeff Klein, come in.
Coach, real quick, I'll get with Mel on these events we got going, but we'll have June 1st, I'll have David Arthur in the garage, Church in the Garage, on a Tuesday. But I've also just got him booked in a church house on a Sunday morning in Knox County.
Awesome.
It's actually doing JR's message for Family Month. So, making some progress.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Listen, the church, I don't know why. I believe this. I believe people are, they're ready for something. They're ready for a change. But who's going to lead it? Spencer, I just sent this to you real quickly. I just sent it to you. Onward, Christian soldiers. Folks, this was written in 1865. Ask yourself if this is the message in the spirit at the church you go to. I don't want to play it. I don't want to play it. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to the rapture, getting out of here. No. On to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices loud. Your anthems raised like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We're not divided. All one body, we one in hope and doctrine. Oh boy, Lord help us. One in charity. Onward then, you people. Join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Where did that go? Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see you. What the heck happened to our marching anthems? What happened to it? I got to show you this. Pull up baseball. JR, I'm not trying to make anybody envious. Hang on. Stay right there. Don't play it yet. Are you looking at me? I know many of you are grieved over the condition of your families. Without going into details, I know how many estranged, broken families are in this queue. I know. And I don't do this to make anybody feel bad, because Lord knows. The devil's after the family. This was yesterday in our front yard. Michelle and I are such blessed men and women. We decided we'd take all those little munchkins and play wiffle ball. Go and play that, Spence.
Go again. This is May 18th, Sunday, May 18th. A beautiful, nice day. I'm so thankful that no tornadoes came through. Everybody, all 10 grands are playing ball. And the dog's here, or being a cheerleader. There's mommy and little girl. I even hit it once and made it to base. God is good.
I wouldn't trade that experience yesterday for anything in my life. I'm gonna go somewhere. I'm just doing this under the unction of the Lord, okay? I'm trying to make anybody feel bad. Spencer, pull up. let me find it here for you, man. Pull up number 6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he would drown in the depth of the sea. I'm not frozen, I'm pondering. It seems to me that that's priority one with Christianity, our children. It's priority one. Is it priority one? At your church, I'm thinking out loud. What has happened to American Christianity that we would put our children into atheistic schools and think that they're going to come out Christians? What's happened to us? How do we get to this point? What does it mean to offend? But whosoever shall offend. Spencer, look up that word. Offend. Offend. Anyone who would offend one of these little ones. To attack, to strike, to thrust against, to displease, to make angry. On these little ones, we teach them lies. We don't care. We send them to public education. You pay for it. and they teach lies to your children. What? Yeah, they teach lies to your children. We're accountable. We're responsible for this. And how many of us do all of a sudden wake up and our kids are 20 years old and they're not serving the Lord anymore? Thought, what the heck? What is going on? To shock, to wound. To shock, to wound, to pain, to annoy, to injure, to transgress, to violate, to disturb, annoy, or cause to stumble. To draw them to evil or hinder them in their obedience, to cause to sin or neglect duty. It'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck than allow one of these little ones to be drawn to evil. That's why I'm reading it. Great accountability for you, mom and dad, grandpa. Great accountability. Why would anybody permit some stranger to teach your children? How do we get convinced that that was a good thing? Hang on, I'm going someplace. Where is it, Lord? Quote number five. Quote number five. This woman was in a wisp of being president of the United States. And she is a purveyor of Satanism, wickedness. Scroll down, Spencer. Folks, you got to hear this. This is what we're dealing with. Church, see, this isn't political, folks. This isn't Republican, Democrat. All right? Are you ready? Are you sitting down? This is May 18th, 2025. In other words, yesterday. This woman was almost president and wants to be again. It's 2 minutes and 30-some seconds. Listen to this. Go ahead.
As I posted the other day, this very blatant effort to basically send a message, most exemplified by Vance and Musk and others, that, you know, what we really need from you women are more children. And what that really means is you should go back to doing what you were born to do, which is to produce more children. And they're talking about, you know, cash benefits for the more children you have. This has been tried, by the way, in other countries and has not worked. Or medals if you have six children. While they're contemplating cutting Medicaid, while they have no interest in paid family leave or funding quality child care, they're cutting Head Start. I mean, you go down the list of all the programs that support child rearing and the care of children and create, you know, some safety net for women who are in the workforce, the formal workforce, as well as, you know, raising children. So this is another performance about concerns they allegedly have for family life. But if you had read the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025,
despite
Trump saying he knew nothing about it, if you had read it, it's all in there. It's all in there. Return to the family, the nuclear family, return to being a Christian nation, return to, you know, producing a lot of children, which is sort of odd because the people who produce the most children in our country are immigrants and they want to deport them. So none of this adds up. But, you know, one of the reasons why our economy did so much better than comparable advanced economies across the world is because we actually had a replenishment, because we had a lot of immigrants, legally and undocumented, who had a, you know, larger than normal, by American standards, family. So this is just another one of their, you know, make America great again by returning to the lifestyles and the economic arrangements of not just the 1950s. I mean, let's keep going back as far as we can and, you know, see what happens. So,
I don't know if there's a more evil person on the planet than that woman right there, folks.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Once again, this is about recapturing language. What does civic life mean that she's talking that crap, Coach? Who is this Newmark Civic Life series? Someone needs to put the question to him. Why did you hire this idiot? Why did you pay that idiot to sit on that stage and spout that crap?
Well, Vinny, her premise is totally wrong.
Right.
She doesn't understand. She does understand. But she's trying to convince you that old-fashioned was bad. You understand that?
It's gaslighting.
That the joy of a woman is motherhood. It's the joy of her. See, she sees child-rearing as a burden. It's a burden. And so that's basically the undertow. I don't want to say I hate Republican Democrat. I don't even like to use those words anymore. Friends, the Republican Party's not pro-life. You do understand that, don't you? They're not pro-life. They're not pro-life. This is the spirit of the age. Hillary Clinton is the purveyor of the spirit of the age. It's all about self-promotion. Better job, bigger house, more freedom, more liberty. Don't go back into the kitchen and bake cookies. Do you think Hillary Clinton, hey, Spencer, bring that video back up. Do you think Hillary Clinton ever in her life experienced?
Here I go again.
You understand that every one of those little people that you stand out there came out of Michelle and I? Well, not the big guys, those are husbands. There's Zach getting fat. He's had some knee problems. Hillary thinks this is destructive to women. This is destructive to America. Yeah, we got a dog even watching over him. Look at those little, every one of them batted. Every one of them ran the bases. They didn't even run the bases. They just ran. They hit the ball and they just ran. They didn't know where to run. And Hillary Clinton's telling people, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Come on, Emery, hit it. Hit it, Emery. She did. Run. Right? Come on, Kevin.
Well, it seems to me if you back it up to when we were a quote-unquote Christian nation, I don't know, 100 years ago, it was commonplace for families to have 10, 12, 13 kids. And illegal immigrants had absolutely nothing to do with that.
No? Well, what's she saying? Did you hear her say it? They want immigrants to come in because they're having children? Did you hear her say that, folks?
Yeah, but they don't want you to have children.
They don't want us to have children.
Yeah. Right.
It's great they're having children, but boy, they sure don't want you having any of them. Huh? No, you got to be a CEO. You're a woman. You got to be a CEO of a company and let somebody else raise your children. Hillary, how many children did Hillary have? The hell would she know? What the hell would she know about rearing children? Craig.
Actually, we're going to put, if you give me a minute, let's play the reel. This is another Georgia Guidestones moment that you can put a check in the box. Okay.
Okay.
Get Spencer to pull up the link I put in at 7:35 a.m. because Tom Horn did a breakdown on this. I mean, I've understood this. I don't think you guys probably have put this together. Maybe you have. All right. He talks about how Jack Parsons, right? And how Ron Hubbard.
Ron Hubbard. Yeah.
Right. All these people, they talked about how they're Aleister Crowley. Remember? Joe was just talking about the other day about his pastor, remember? And Aleister Crowley, the Church of Satan, and how God took him out on October 31st, the day of the flood. I mean, God has a good sense of humor. Okay, but he talks about that somewhere around 1947, this spirit would come in, right? And, you know, it's called Hillaryon. Hmm. And what Tom Horn put together, if you keep going down, Spencer, says show more so people can see. But people can pull it up in the chat. But for the people who are going to view this later, okay, can you make it more? Okay, look at what that says here, Coach. It says, in Crowley's Book of the Law, which is connected to spirit cooking, I think we heard that in the news a little bit, didn't we? It was that one guy that he worked in the administration, and he's really good friends with the Clintons. Remember,
James Alefantis, was that him?
What is his name? He has weird pictures on his wall and stuff like that. Podesta.
Yeah,
Podestas.
The Pizzagate guy. Podesta, yes.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, just to get to the bottom of this, it says they should expect a female child be born in 1947. Indeed, such an influential feminist was delivered that year who may offer the most promise of identifying the fruit of Parsons' famous ritual. That would be none other than Hillary Rodham Clinton. Okay. Mm. So now we have the suspect. But let's look and see where God came in and said, nope, that person will not become the president of the United States. Well, that would be you, Coach, when you went up there by yourself. And then second, that would be you when you went with the other group of people, and Kevin, I think, was a part of it, and Randy. And then Randy, 20 minutes later, says, well, wait a minute, we got to drive back. I got to put my hands at the gate. Okay. Well, the gate is the transaction of government and official business back in the Old Testament, right? Because everybody would meet at the gate to make the deals.
Right.
And what I'm saying is that moment, it broke what Thomas Horn was saying would come, what their plans were. That was Parsons' plans. That was Alice Crowley's plans. So I would put that in a check for the Pass the Salt group there.
Wow.
And just now it's documented. You have it on your show, so it's documented and people can see it in the future.
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. I got Craig, I can't believe you pulled this up here, because I got some stuff that ties right in with that. Hang on. Here's why I like Donald Trump. Pull up number 7 real quickly. Hang on. Hey friends, I don't care what you think about him. There ain't never been a guy like him. Donald Trump posted this on, I don't know which one this is. He posted this this weekend. Go ahead.
Kennedy Jr., he was declared the front runner for the New York Senate seat back in 1999. Days later, his plane crashed into the Atlantic Ocean, and his rival, Hillary Clinton, was elected senator. Mary Mahoney was a Clinton White House intern. She knew enough of the inner workings of Bill's sexual advancements to be a star witness during the Clinton impeachment trials. She was brutally executed at a Starbucks she was managing in 1997. In 1993, White House counsel Vince Foster was found dead in Fort Marcy Park near D.C. He supposedly killed himself, and among a lengthy list of potential foul play, the bullet was never found. Then there's James McDougal, a key witness for White House prosecutors. He was serving his 3-year sentence for bank fraud at the Fort Worth Federal Medical Center in Texas. And just before he was to give a testimony before the grand jury, McDougal suffered a heart attack in solitary confinement. In 2015, Walter Scheib, a White House chef hired under Bill Clinton, joined the list. His body was found at the bottom of a river, nearly 2 miles from the base of the trail he was reportedly hiking. An autopsy determined that Scheib's death was accidental drowning, but he might have known too much. 27-year-old Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich was shot and killed in D.C. this year. There is speculation that he was the source of the controversial leaked emails allegedly sent by DNC staffers, and that he may have been murdered in retaliation. Then Sean Lucas, the lead attorney in a fraud case against the DNC, was found lying on the bathroom floor by his girlfriend when she returned home on August 2nd. His death was reported classified, pending the results of an autopsy.
Wow. Hang on. I'm going to get you in here. I got to show you another one, okay? Go to 9B. 9B. And then I'll open it up again. I'm sorry. Look, I got so much information I'm trying to get out of. Paul and Randy, I'll get you right in there. 9B, you ready? There you go. Former CIA confession. What's this guy's name? I used to know his name. I don't remember anymore. It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Children are not just kidnapped and in some cases bred by families as a cash crop. We have people in the United States of America that breed children in order to sell them. And when they are sold, they come without birth certificates, which means it's easier to kill them and have no one ask where they are. We're also importing children by the plane load. Again, children who have no documentation. It's not just child slavery or child sex abuse. It's also child torture, because you have adrenalized blood. You have the whole blood drinking ceremony of the satanic world. It's also the use of children for harvesting body organs. And then you have ritual ceremonies and ritual murder, as well as incidental murder. Most organizations that end up being used to prey on children, Oxfam is a recent example, all of the United Nations organizations, the Boy Scouts of America, all of the child services agencies across the United States of America, they did not start out as organizations to prey on children, but they attract pedophiles. And ultimately, pedophiles end up rising in the ranks and controlling those organizations. So that an organization that initially started out in the service of children becomes an organization that is, in fact, hunting children.
Boom! One more. I promise you, one more. Listen, folks, bring up number nine. Bring up number nine. This is old. Hang on. This is old. 15 years old, maybe. Are you sitting down? You're going to have to read because it's hard sometimes. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm 9 years old right now. We eat babies. We drink their blood.
Okay.
Because this is how we do it. So then on Wednesday is the most special, busiest day, special
right.
day.
Okay. We'll start, we'll take it little bit by little bit.
So instead we kill babies, we drink their blood, we eat them. But then after, so the social services who are in it,
yeah.
They go to families. So the families can't afford. So they get a baby, but they can't look after it. Or anything. They can't buy food, or they can't buy clothes. They can't look after it. So they sell. The families who sell their children.
Yeah.
So the social services get them. They say they get them to a foster home, but they don't. They get the babies or the children, and then they get the baby. They hang it upside down.
And over the string.
They put a string, it's like a circle string, tie it to the legs, hang it upside down, and then they get a special, the knife they use for the cutting the baby's head off.
Where is it this that happens?
The church, the kitchen in our church.
The kitchen?
Yes.
Folks, that can't be made up. You couldn't teach a child that young. Paul Webb, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Back to the Hillary Clinton statement. It's kind of coded what she's saying there. I think what she's saying is no more, and this is a attack against white male Protestant Christians.
That's right.
That's what she's talking about, but she's not going to say it outright.
Right. Sure.
I mean, that's what it is.
She looks like she's for the underdog at the expense of white males. Good catch, Paul. Good catch. Randy, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, Craig was on to something there. 1947 was a huge year. I've done a deep dive on it, and there's pages and pages of just incredible, unbelievable events. But Coach, that's the year Hillary Clinton was born, October 26th. Aleister Crowley died the same year, just about a month later. July 8th, I think it was July 8th when they had the crash in New Mexico and the alien crash in Roswell, New Mexico. So what Craig was saying, the documents, it all connects. They run this Luciferian event to create something else. And it's all there. It's just their system. It's how it works, Coach. But, Hillary Clinton, I'll say this, Coach, and I'll finish. Hillary Clinton. This is the last time you'll see her. She just painted her eyes. She went public. She attacked what God is trying to do. And this is her last hurrah. I'll just write this down. Her days are numbered. She's just about gone from the earth, Coach. Just
amen. Amen. Oh, Craig, hang on. I got another video I got to show you. Where is it? I did that one. 11. Folks, look at me. All those who hate me love death. Jesus Christ said that. All those who hate me love death. Play this.
That they're giving COVID vaccines to 6-month-old children now. We know how bad it is. We know that it ruins stem cells in pregnant women. They don't give stem cells to their babies. The industry's upset because the placentas no longer have stem cells. They used to use those stem cells in research and cosmetics, etc. They're not getting them anymore because of what the COVID shots did to the placentas and those infants. That's not being talked about in the media. Nothing bad about the shots being talked about when we have Kevin McKernan and all these people looking at it going, there's SV40 in it. There was a staphylococcal endotoxin gene. There were two snake genes in there. It's a definite gain of function. Nope. We got to put it on the vaccine, the baby vaccine schedule, because any doubts, whether or not well-funded, about the vaccination must not be allowed to exist. That's why.
Giving a COVID shot to a baby today is insane.
Three of them. They get three. It starts at 6 months, and they get three of them, kind of boom, boom, boom.
Are doctors really recommending this?
That doctor's likely to lose $250,000 a year if they don't do that, because there's incentive given to hospitals and doctors. You know that they're giving COVID vaccines.
Did you know that? Is that unbelievable? Come on in, Craig.
Can Spencer pull up that little clip I put in there back at 7:46? Okay, so this is the manifestation. Okay, no, 7:46. It says, when Coach asks you, 7:46 a.m. What it is it's the video of Hillary Clinton, okay, being when she was running for office. Remember these videos?
Just watch.
That is a manifestation of the spirit. That's not a seizure. That's a demon. That's right. High-level things. And you know what it is? It's starting to come out. And for people that have the seizure. And so what was happening is when you and Randy and the others had prayed in unity in God's will, okay, God has told in that spirit it can't go where it wants to go, and it's mad. If you want to understand one of the reasons why Trump won that year, what precluded her from going out on the campaign trail and going to all these cities and meeting people and shaking hands and kissing babies? Her health. Remember, like she did not go out and, you know, do all the things that you have to do. Okay. So I'm just trying to point that these are the connecting dots of the spirit realm.
So, folks, we went to Hillary Clinton's house. Craig, you know the date better than I do. We did, in our Equal Justice tour, we went to Hillary Clinton's house at 15 Old House Lane, Chappaqua, New York. And when we were done, we'd been to Hillary's house. We were back on the restroom at the gas station, and Randy came back to me and said, Coach, I got to go back to Hillary's. So what? So, yeah, I got to go back. I'm supposed to do something. I didn't do it. Randy, can you tell us that story here real quick?
Yeah,
folks,
Coach.
See, I believe in the power of the supernatural. Sorry, I believe in it.
Yeah,
he said, every place you put your foot is given to you as an inheritance. Go ahead, Randy.
You know, it's a long, long story. I'll condense it, Coach. But, you know, when you went to Hillary's the first time, something happened. It just went off in me like, this is huge. I didn't know. Couldn't put my finger on all of it. But, and then you come back and you said, we're going to go back. Okay, then it's like, oh, man, I'm telling my wife, man, I'd love to go, but there's no way. I'm too busy. I got too much on my plate right now. We're just covered up in my business and all, you know, all that. Well, me and T-Ray, my dear brother, was sitting on our back porch. We was doing a little study and pondering and just worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, he just says, hang on a minute. He prophesies this little prophecy. It comes right out of the Holy Spirit right there in real time. And he looks at me and he goes, you know what that means? And I go, I think I do. And he goes, it means you're going to go, you got to go with Coach. And I said, so anyway, that changed right there. My wife said, you're gone. And she says, and things are dangerous, she always says, no, don't go. You don't go. But she said, honey, you got to go. So I knew something was going to happen, Coach. I didn't know what. But, you know, we talked about it. We planned. I understood the Equal Justice Tour. That was all good and well. But I was going for something else, and I didn't know at the moment. But then as I put it together and we got there and everything fell into place, it was like I floated for a whole those 3 or 4 days, Coach. It just feels like I floated. There was no concept of time. But when that happened, Coach, we went up there, and I knew right then when we left, you took us, we drove by her lair. We saw it, and we go back to get the gas. Someone was out of gas, and we's talking, and I'm just very troubled. Very troubled. And the Holy Spirit's saying, you just tell me, you got to go back. You have to deliver this package right now. So that's when I told you that. And because I understand authority, this is your platform. Everything we do is under your authority. You're the God's leading it through you. So I understand how to do this. And that's why I said, Coach, let me go back up there. I just need to do something. And you looked at me real funny. And you're like, what are you going to do? Like what? And I go, just trust me. And you, Coach, you didn't really know me. We didn't know each other very well. That was only like 6 months in since I met you. Yeah. But anyhow, Coach, I went there. I spoke the words, the prophetic words God gave me to speak. And how I got there with the Secret Service sitting there and got to go up there and touch that gate and do that, it had to be angelic. Kevin Fahey, he knows. He prayed over me before we left. He didn't even know me. We just met. Right.
Randy, let me jump in just real quick, okay? Because this is like a supernatural layup, right? Like a layup in basketball. So I'm in New Hampshire. Randy and I haven't met yet. Matt and I are in New Hampshire hours before we got to New York. Matt's taking care of something, and I'm out in a parking lot waiting for him. And the Lord says to me, the Holy Spirit told me to pray very specifically for this, and I had no idea why, to pray for favor and grace with officials and people in positions of authority. And I had no idea why. And I still didn't know why until that night after Randy, because I was with you guys at the gas station when Randy, we all got back later that night. Randy's, you know, filling us in at what happened. And then it dawned on me. So you can see the dominoes being set up in advance, one to hit the next. And what a mind blower. So like, it's literally like a layup to hit the backboard for Randy to come and dunk the ball.
So Randy pulls into 50 in Old House Lane. The black limos are there. The Secret Service is there. Randy, we got 3 minutes. Tell them what happened.
Coach Norm and Mike Blake and me, I'm in Mike's driving, and they're just, we're quiet. We're going up there, and I'm just thinking, you know, how am I going to pull this off? Well, how am I going to do it? And Norm, I think, he goes, Randy, you know they kill people, right? And I go, yeah, I do, Coach Norm. It's going to be okay. I had no fear, Coach, and I'm not trying to brag on myself. I'm just saying when the Holy Spirit comes on you, any of you, to do something, and he's got you covered, you got to let fear go, and you got to trust God and just have faith. Well, I just did. Walked up by that limo. They roll the window down. They go, hey, what are you doing? And I'm going, I'm just taking some pictures. I want to go. If I can, would you guys let me walk up to the gate and just take some pictures? And he just looked at me head to toe. These were big brute guys. These were men. I mean, young, strong men. And they're there to, you know, they're doing their job. But for some reason, he just goes, yeah, I'll just, okay, go ahead, you know.
Knock yourself out. And he said,
the chance of that happening is zero. And then the chance of, you know, everything that happened, it all laid out. So what I'm saying, Coach, is this. We can do any kind of operation that God has to do if we'll be obedient.
Mm.
Just takes obedience. And the fear goes away, Coach, after, you know, the first play in a football game, you got butterflies. After that, you're fine. It's just you have to get on the field, get in the motion, get in God's plan. And all of a sudden, it's like you feel like you're Joshua.
So, Randy, with the Secret Service watching, you went up and you laid hands on that gate.
So God had shown me some things, Coach. I was dumb. I didn't know anything about witchcraft. He got me. I studied before I left. I studied on witchcraft blessings. And the number one, the strongest blessing they have is called a threshold blessing. And that's what the prophecy was. Go stand on her threshold. And that threshold was her domain. It was the empire. It was the the land, the gate. It was right at the gate, the portal, the entrance. So God had all this plan, Coach. All he needed was just one little dumb concrete guy that would believe him and go do it. And you, Coach, you did your job. Everybody did their job. I don't want to single myself out here. We all did. Vinny told me exactly how to come to New York, where to go, how to do this. I was lost, never been to New York City. And I floated through New York City, Coach. It was like I was just... I've got a long story, but in the Grand Central Station, Vinny said, just go there, Randy, catch the bus up north and make it simple.
We're out of time. Randy, cut those cords, folks.
It he set in motion, Coach.
Hillary Clinton was never the same after that moment. We got to run. I'll see you tomorrow.